with the backdrop of the north face of the Eiger in the Bernese Oberland. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show. Coming up this week, are pro cyclists as weak as they look? Do you even need to be strong to be one of the best pro cyclists? We're taking a look at the evidence.
Plus, the 93-year-old attempting to complete the 200-mile unbound race, while young drivers are looking to make the switch to cycling, the landmark court case that the UCI lost, and an auction for Albert Einstein's bike saddle.
Looking forward to that.
This week, in the world of cycling, we learnt that the 10-tooth is here to stay, with SRAM having won a landmark ruling about gear restrictions against the UCI.
We also learnt that Victor Campenaerts is the culprit slash pioneer behind the urine-filled bidon, or pedon, as we're now calling them. Last week, the riders of the Giro were issued a warning by the UCI, presumably after members of the public made complaints.
Which is kind of fair enough, really, isn't it? I mean, if you want to pee in your bottle, fill your boots, or your bottle, I guess, then keep it on your bike or give it to your tinker. Don't throw it to the side where someone is very likely to pick it up as a souvenir.
Yeah, I mean, you can see why they'd be pissed off. Finally this week, we learnt that it takes some serious power to finish in the top 10 of the Giro d'Italia individual time trial.
It does indeed. Did you speak about this on the GCN Tech show last week?
Yes, we mentioned about Ganna, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have his power data, but we did have that of Derek G. West of Lidl-Trek, who averaged 431 watts for 48 minutes en route to taking fifth place at that individual time trial of 42 Ks at the Giro. So in turn, that means that Filippo Ganna's power must have been ridiculous. He was over 2 minutes and 2.5 kilometres per hour quicker than G. West was on the day.
Yeah, oh, we spoke about this on the GCN Tech show, but his speed of 54.9 kilometres an hour was the fastest individual time trial in professional cycling history for an event over 40 kilometres.
Kind of, yeah.
It's bonkers.
I did see that the Colombian National Championship had a higher average speed over a similar distance at the start of this year, but it's altitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll say World Tour. Anyway, off the back of that, you might be wondering why we are even asking the question, are pro cyclists weak? Clearly not, right? You've got to be strong to ride at 54.9 kilometres per hour and at that power.
Yeah, but there's a key difference between power and strength. You know, by definition, strength is about overcoming resistance. If you can lift a weight, you're strong enough to lift it. However, with power, there's a time component. So power is, you know, force times velocity. So in cycling terms, that means torque by cadence.
Yeah. So to give you an example, if you're grinding up a climb at 50 RPM cadence and 250 watts, you're actually going to be producing the same torque as Filippo Ganna was riding at 100 RPM and 500 watts, but then only half the power.
You know, therefore, you can argue that unless you're a sprinter, you don't need to be really strong in its true definition. You know, in order to be good, you know, because most of us can produce 500 watts, but the difference is that most of us can only produce 500 watts for a fraction, yeah, you know, fraction small time compared to Ganna.
Yeah, very small fraction, I would say. And I guess an example close to home for me is, well, between me and Si. Am I stronger than Si? Yes. Yes, I am, yeah. Ollie. I mean, I know he's not here to defend himself, but I saw him in your recent video at the gym, and I'm fairly confident I'll be able to do more pull-ups than him because he could only do one.
Actually, he couldn't even do one.
Really?
No.
Oh, he can do one.
Yeah, that was a rubbish joke.
Yeah, it was a rubbish joke. I'll move on quickly from that. Yeah. Anyway, I also know for a fact that I am able to do a barbell bench press with added weights on the bar. Which he couldn't, could he?
Oh, that's incredible scene. Incredible scene, Stan.
However, the recent Seven Gravel event that we went to in Perth, Australia, Si averaged 267 watts, whilst I only averaged 212. Obviously, I did my 212 for longer, but that is still quite a big difference in power output.
Yeah, it's 20%, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, I mean, it goes to show you that, like, strength is not the limiting factor in endurance cycling a lot of the time, but rather sustainable power and aerobic fitness, you know, the metabolic engine to deliver oxygen to your muscles to keep them fueled for long periods.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Now, strength is something that Ollie and I know a little bit about, at least more than we did a year or two ago, because since we have both become gym bros, haven't we, Ollie? And I think I'm right in saying that we both feel better for having gone to the gym, in all seriousness.
Yeah, I just want to say we are the two most ridiculous gym bros.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you feel better, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely do, yeah. I mean, I just to be clear, I'm still pretty weak. I'm just a lot less weak than I was
It's stronger.
Before. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel better on and off the bike. I feel like I've, you know, got sort of more energy. And while I'd say through putting on some more mass, I've got slower on long climbs, I do feel that I can sit at a higher power output for longer periods now. Mm.
Yeah, which is interesting. Yeah. I mean, I feel better as well in general. Fewer aches and pains than before, better posture, etc. I remind myself as I improve my posture. But I do feel good on the bike as well. I'm able to do over 1,000 watts in the saddle at the moment, and I was never, ever able to do that in my time as a pro rider.
That's good, that.
Yeah, I'm really pleased.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, most pro cyclists now do at least some strength training, and almost all of them will do that in the off season. Some will continue with some sort of like maintenance training during the season, and others will just take a break to concentrate solely on riding and racing. It is, though, my understanding that UAE have reduced some of their bike training this year to make way for more gym,
which is really interesting, isn't it? Mm. The strength training being performed has evolved for pro cyclists as well. So in my day, it was more about specific movements and core strength. That was going to keep them more stable on the bike and help increase resistance and fatigue. Now, though, riders are doing squats and deadlifts, which was much more rare back in my day.
Yeah, I mean, lifting heavy was kind of just seen as the preserve of track sprinters, like Chris Hoy. But now endurance pro cyclists are reaping the benefits of that.
I guess another example of how things have changed is that from what we've heard in the past, Cav said that his sprint power was trained solely on the bike and he did barely any gym for road racing.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had done.
Yeah.
50 tour stages.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, it's always a fine balance, though, I think, for the sort of GC guys, and, you know, in terms of gaining strength and gaining mass, because power to weight is still a big part of the equation. But studies do suggest that, you know, you can expect to gain sort of 3 to 6% on your FTP. And long sustained power. So for a pro rider, if 400 watts is their FTP, which is quite common for pros these days, right? Then that could be a 20 watt improvement.
Yeah.
And when you factor in that, you know, typically for these guys, 5 watts makes more difference than a kilogram of mass on a climb like Alpe d'Huez, you can see why they'd embrace it.
Makes sense from that point of view, doesn't it? So back to our original question then. Are pro cyclists weak?
Well, in terms of absolute strength, compared to a weightlifter, a rugby player, or us two, yeah, absolutely. Cyclists aren't bench pressing houses or
no,
doing a full rack of lat pull downs. But they do have like specific strength for you know what they need to be able to do on the bike, and you know relative to their weight as well. Yeah. Like in terms of power to weight, they are pretty strong, even if they don't look it.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. So if you are looking to solely get faster on your bike, I would still suggest prioritising building that massive aerobic engine that you'll need for big cycling events, as that is the biggest determining factor to performance. But adding in some gym on top of that will almost certainly help and improve you off the bike as well.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, time is often the limiting factor for any cyclist who isn't a full-time pro. You know, trying to fit in some strength work is going to benefit you more than just cycling, as I've experienced myself recently.
Yeah.
I mean, did you do much gym work when you were a pro?
Not a huge amount, but I do wish that I had done more. Because actually, the year that I felt best and strongest on the bike, sorry to use the wrong scroll, was 2009. And that winter through 2008, November, December, and into the start of 2009, I'd actually done quite a lot in the gym, probably 2 or 3 sessions per week. And then for the classics, I was 73 kilograms, which is quite heavy for me as a cyclist, but I did feel fantastic through all of those classics. However, I just didn't really put 2 and 2 together for a long time. And I'd also concluded by that point in my career that strength was not the limiting factor on what I wanted to achieve.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it does sound like you wish you'd done more of it, though.
Well, yeah. If I had my time again, I would do more down at the gym. That's not just because of the knowledge that I've got right now. I spent too much time focusing on trying to improve my FTP, when in reality, my strength as a rider then and now was much shorter puncture effort. And I think I should have just played to those strengths more rather than trying to become the climber I was never going to be.
Yeah, just imagine. I mean, you probably could have run Liège.
Not Liège, no.
No.
I probably could have won Flanders.
Yeah, I think you probably could have won.
No, I was better on this. Liège, the climbs was already too long for me. But yeah, Flanders Amstel with the 1 to 2 minute efforts, that was my bread and butter. And I think it could have been more of my bread and butter, like a loaf.
Yeah. At the very least, the Fred Whitten. You could have won the Fred Whitten.
Yeah, well, I won the Dragon Ride back in the day.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Which is, I think, quite a lot harder than the Fred Whitten.
We'll never know.
No,
we won't. Well, all very interesting. Let us know what your thoughts and experiences are. Have you hit the gym and have you noticed any difference, better or worse, on the bike? Really keen to hear your comments.
Also, whilst you're at it, let
see
us know...
See your comments.
Yes. let us know whether it's made any difference to you off the bike if you've been going down the gym. After all, that, as we said, is the most important thing for us mere mortals, especially as we start to get older.
Yeah. Oh, OK, just before we move on, quick nod to the GCN shop.
Yep.
As most of you know, we expanded our prints collection at the start of the first men's grand tour of the season. And we introduced some new T-shirts, some new special edition GCN Camelback bead-ons, which are just over there.
They are indeed. Just grab them over there. All of them available at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com or by scanning the QR code that will hopefully be on screen right now. Thanks, everybody, for your support if you've already made a purchase, and thanks in advance if you're thinking about making one.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we'll start with the news that age is definitely just a number. Connor rode with 78-year-old ex-pro Sid Barris recently, showing that if you do keep riding and pedalling, it's quite remarkable how much fitness that you can retain in later life.
Such a good video. He's a beast, isn't he? Now, another big example of that is 93-year-old Fred Schmidt, who last week announced that he's attempting to finish Unbound 200 this coming weekend. So Fred is a 54-time national champion, has a two-time world champion, should I say. He's finished the Unbound 100, but never the 200, despite multiple attempts and attending the race since 2015.
It appears that this might be the Texan's last attempt at trying to complete the distance as well. I mean, all we can say is good luck, Fred. And, well, what an inspiration. I mean, I really hope he can do it.
Oh, I'm going to be keeping my eye out firmly on the results. I really hope that he gets to the end.
Do they have dot watching, though?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I'm okay on that.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, moving on now. And as we all know, the cost of fuel has kind of rocketed in recent months due to the worldwide economic situation and that war in Iran. E-bike rental company Linebike have recently conducted a survey in London which found a relatively large 29% of all current drivers are now thinking of making the switch to cycling as a mode of transport instead of driving because of those fuel price hikes.
Nice. Every cloud has a silver lining. You know, including the current situation, I guess. You know, people, if people are going to ride their bikes more, or at least find alternative modes of transport, I think it's good. I mean, the same survey also found that 44% of drivers between 18 and 34 years of age also wanted to make the switch to cycling.
Brilliant stuff. One aspect, though, that often puts people off starting to cycle in the first place is bike theft. We spotted this recently from bike lock brand Lightlock. Essentially, it's a live database of bike thefts in the UK, Netherlands, USA, Germany and France. And I had a quick browse through this, and it's an interesting one because basically it shows where bike thefts take place and how often, with a number of different metrics like bikes recovered, money lost, and even examples of saved bikes thanks to working locks.
Yeah, I'm not sure how useful this is in stopping your bike from being stolen, though. You know, but it definitely gives a good idea of where potential theft hotspots are.
True.
You
know. Yeah, true.
So, if you frequently ride or store your bike in these locations, you can beef up your protection. And I think it's worth a look, though, especially, you know, if you live in any of those territories where this operates.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're in a hotspot,
yeah, you can get an extra lock or something.
Now, earlier in the year, we reported the sad closure of Paragon Machine Works, which was a stalwart of the custom bike building work for decades, actually. Many custom-made bikes used Paragon Machine Works dropouts, bottom bracket shells, head tubes, and so on. So it was a huge blow when their closure was announced earlier on this year.
Yes, however, last week it emerged that a Portland-based company called First Hand Frame Building has acquired Paragon's intellectual property. So it would appear that the idea is to revive the brand and hopefully allow it to continue operating and live on, which is really great.
100%, yeah, 100%. And we'll follow those developments eagerly. Something a little different now, and I must say a little bit random as well. Ollie, as a doctor of chemistry, you might like this. Albert Einstein's bike saddle is up for auction. What appears to be an estimate of £7,000 to £10,000. It dates back to 1929 and comes with handwritten notes from the famous physicist himself. The auction is actually taking place in the Cotswolds, which is not far from the GCN mega base. What do you think of that, mate?
Well, as a chemist, I was actually more excited. I mean, it's great that it's Albert Einstein's bike saddle. He rode his bike a lot. But I was more excited to learn that it has extra providence because he actually lent this bike saddle, or gave it, to another Nobel laureate, Max von Laue, who has a more special place in my heart as a chemist, as someone who pioneered X-ray crystallography, X-ray diffraction, which is a technique that I've actually used myself to characterise molecules.
Does this mean you will be bidding?
I don't think I'm. I don't think I have that much. Well, it might spare change.
Might go for way less than
it might do. Yeah,
maybe watch for the first.
It's pretty
minute.
Rusty and worn, to be fair. I think it's a bit.
Watch the auction for a minute or two until it goes over £100 and then bow out gracefully. Okay, next up, that news from before that the UCI has lost its court battle with SRAM, the group set manufacturer. So the sports governing body were looking to implement a gear ratio limit in pro races, an experiment with that last year, as a way of reducing speed, and that is something that SRAM took particular umbrage to.
Yeah, the UCI were proposing gears to be limited to 54-11, which SRAM argued was unfair to riders using its group sets because they rely on having a 10-tooth cog. Yeah. And I imagine their worry was that this ban, you know, did it come into play, either teams would be forced to use different group set or SRAM would have to totally change its whole kind of group set design and ethos.
Yes, well, they won, as mentioned. The Belgian Competition Authority, who'd already ruled against this, have now thrown out an appeal by the UCI, effectively ending their plans to restrict gears in such a way. SRAM CEO Ken Lausberg said in a statement to media that the process used to adopt the rule was deeply flawed.
SRAM also said that the UCI should work with the cycling industry more closely before looking to implement such rules, which I think is a sensible suggestion.
Sounds sensible, yes.
We are going to go into a bit more detail on this and discuss it more on the GCN Tech Show as well, so check that out if you're interested. Mm-hmm. Now, some news now from Hunt. They've got some new wheels out.
They have. They've just launched their new 4am Limitless wheel, which follows the 5am Limitless, which launched last week. And these wheels appear to tick quite a lot of boxes.
They do. So, 23mm internal, which is great for 28 and 30mm tyres. They are very light, 1,156 grams a pair in the lightest options.
It's light.
But they start from £1,959, which is, I think, very competitive.
Yeah,
for,
you know, sounds it.
Yeah, which is about €2,000 and $2,500, roughly. And they are 49.5mm deep at the front, 47mm deep at the rear. Bit unusual. They're tubeless and they're hooked.
Nice. So, for context, the new Hunts are lighter, cheaper, and according to Hunts, more aero than Pogacar's Envy 4.5 wheels. There are also ceramic speed bearings as an option, as well as carbon spokes.
Yeah, pretty
right,
cool.
Just finally, a reminder that our CycloWax giveaway is still open for entries until this Friday at 10am BST. This is to win a CycloWax performance kit and a limited edition GCN race wax.
Yes, there is a link to the competition page in the description just below this video. Click on that and you'll be given all the details of how to enter. It's completely free and we'll announce the lucky winner next week. Unfortunately, territory restrictions do apply.
Yeah, so, check if you're able to enter from where you're living.
Sorry, anyone watching in North Korea.
No. Right, good luck. Next up, it is Hack /bodgeoftheweek. You can get involved in this part of the show by going to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Our first one this week, I'll be interested to see Ollie's thoughts on this or hear them. Twan1960 put quick link. After spending too much time searching for the quick link every time I wax my chains, I simply mark them with a permanent marker. Things can be so simple sometimes.
So have a look at this then.
Right. There we go. It's blue.
Right.
Whilst you're deciding then, I've waxed my chain twice now, as you know, with varying degrees of success. Mm. Better the second time than the first. I also spent an inordinate amount of time trying to find my blooming quick link.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, I was going to say, use one of the like reusable like Whipperman Connects quick links.
Right.
And they're usually black, so they're really easy to spot.
Okay.
But I've noticed he's using a flat top chain.
Yeah.
And they're not compatible, to my knowledge,
okay,
with flat top chains. So I think I can go hack on that.
Well, why couldn't you just use a permanent marker instead of buying a brand new quick link?
Because the Whipperman ones are reusable.
Oh, what, they?
No, I'd, yeah.
You can't reuse them?
You're not supposed to.
Really?
Mm. I mean, a lot of people do. But, but you're not supposed to.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
Good that you're on the show this week with me. I don't know if Si knows that. I better tell him. He probably does. Right. I'm going to hack then.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a reusable quick link.
Oh, yes. Good little hack. Yeah.
What's the point in a non-reusable quick link?
You need to take that up with Shimano and SRAM.
All right. Let's get it on. There we go. There's a hack from both of us.
Next up, we've got Richard T. He says, a few weeks ago, he fell off his mountain bike, breaking 9 ribs, a collarbone, and he had a minor lung puncture.
Get well soon.
I know, it sounds awful. For obvious reasons, I couldn't ride a bike, and even walking was unpleasant. So I decided to see if I could bodge something together so I could keep riding to help with my recovery. He's got a kitchen chair, some straps, and his wife's extra small bike, and after only 10 days, he was back in the saddle / chair. And he's been watching GCN on his iPad while he does it.
I mean, if you want a picture of dedication to cycling, I think this is it right here.
When
9
I first...
ribs broken, still pedalling away, albeit from behind the bike, on a chair.
When I saw that picture, I thought he's had his arms amputated as well. And I realised, no.
They're just inside the jumper.
Inside his T-shirt.
Yeah. Crikey. Well, he's got some entertainment there in his iPad. Well, I mean, if you're that determined to get back on, it's clearly something that you absolutely want to do. And so that point, from that point of view, it has to be a hack, surely.
Yeah, I'm going hack. That's commitment there. Yeah.
Personally, I would be letting myself recover before I attempted to get back anywhere near a bike like that, but each their own. Next up, this one from Bob, Easy Bike Stand. As I'm getting on in years, I recently switched from a very lightweight road bike to a more upright flat handlebar gravel bike. However, given the added weight, my overhead storage hooks became much harder to deal with. After pricing simple bike stands that started at $30, I looked around my garage, found some leftover planking and a hanger rod from a remodeled project. With a handsaw, bit of drilling, rasping and glue, I created this simple, easy wooden bike rack. Works great so far and cost essentially nothing. So if you're listening to this in podcast format, this looks like a sort of set of cricket stumps with one stump missing, doesn't it?
Yeah, on like a wooden base.
Yeah.
Fair?
Fair. That's
fair
not
one.
An option. It's hack or bodge. Well, I think the wrong wheel is in it to start with.
I just don't understand why you don't just like prop it up against the wall.
I could tell. I've never seen a more empty garage. There's a lot of space for one bike there, isn't
there?
Yeah. It must be like a ginormous garage, or there's not much in it. But yeah, firstly, I would put the back wheel in it because the front wheel, with the movable headset, you do risk the bike falling over anyway.
Mm.
It's free. I always like free stuff, but I've seen better bike racks, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to go bodge on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go bodge. Mm. Sorry, Bob. Sorry. Right, what we got last this week?
We've got Mike. Mike says, whilst out on a group ride a couple of weeks ago, my right shoe suddenly unclipped, or at least I thought it had. What had actually happened was that the sole of my shoe had completely detached. I was still about 15 miles from home, and I was considering my options. In the end, and I know how you hate them, I went for the cable tie solution. Seeing as the shoes were destined for the bin, I took the inner sole out, made some small slits on either side that allowed me to put the cable ties below the level of the inner sole. I then fixed the sole of the shoe back on and cycled home.
Crikey.
Right.
That must have been very confusing to begin with, when your sort of foot comes off the pedal and you're like, how did I unclip then?
Mm.
And then you realise the sole of your shoe is still attached to the pedal. Doesn't happen very often. It must be some well-worn shoes.
It's never happened to me.
Old pair of Nike shoes, by the looks of things.
Oh, a bit like Lance Specials.
I was going to say, they must be old, because Nike have not made cycling shoes for quite some time. Not for mass sale, anyway. I think Mark Cavendish still used some at some point.
Ah, well, they were made by another brand.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think they were back in the day as well.
Yeah.
DMT?
Yeah.
Well, it's like we always say, if this is just a, if this is to get you through what you need to get through before you can purchase some new cycling shoes, it's a hack. Mm. If you intend on using these for the next few months until they completely give way, it's a bodge.
Yeah, I think in getting you home, 15 miles to go, and avoiding having to get a taxi or, you know, call up one of your family to come and pick you up at the roadside. Yeah. That's some serious MacGyver.
Okay.
MacGyver action right there.
All right, well, we're going with hack then.
Yeah.
It was just to get you home.
I think it's a hack.
Next up, it is caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback bidon. Not pedon, we should say. All you need to do is put a witty caption in the comment section.
There is
down
a bit
below.
Of liquid in this one, though.
There is, but it's just normal liquid.
Is it?
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge. You're going to check. Oh, dear.
That smells alcoholic, Dan.
It might well be. It might well be from the Christmas party last year.
Anyway,
we will start, as ever, with the results from last week's caption competition. This was the photo that we gave you, which was from the opening weekend of the Giro d'Italia in Bulgaria, this being Wilco Kelderman. Apparently, we left the photo up on screen too long last week, according to some commenters, so we'll take it straight down now. Some cracking comments, if you'll pardon the pun. Oh, by the way, Ollie thinks that he would have won this caption competition.
Yeah.
So firstly, I'm going to go through a couple of notable mentions, and then I'm going to announce the winner, and then we'll find out what Ollie's was. First up, Rich M3477, caption competition. This week's special on the Visma Lisa Bike Team web shop, bib shorts are half off.
Good.
Very good. Mm. Jersey Pool, caption competition. When my DS told me to get my arse into gear, I bet this isn't what he had in mind. But our winner of the GCN Camelback water bottle this week, YouTube, who put caption, the cracks at Visma Lisa bike are beginning to show.
Good, very good.
Very good. Mm. Get in touch with us on Facebook with your address. We'll get a bottle sent out to you. He's itching to give his caption.
It was at that moment we learned that Campenaerts hadn't just been peeing in bottles.
Would work if it was Campenaerts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, imagine that. That's an awful image in your mind, isn't it? Crikey. Moving quickly on, it's another Visma Lisa bike rider in a different scenario this week, this being Jonas Vingegaard on the podium in the blue jersey as leader of the King of the Mountains competition at the Giro. I'll get you started. Jonas Vingegaard unhappy after being accused of liking to have a big whine.
Yeah.
Like it?
Yeah, well, I like to think that that's just a normal-sized... glass of wine, he's just a tiny human.
Well, he is quite small, but not that small.
Yeah. Well, I think if you think you can do better than that, and I'm pretty confident you can, just let us know in the comments section below, and, well, you'll have a chance to win a bottle next week.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN over the next 7 days. But first up, some of our favourite comments from last week's videos. I will start as ever from underneath last week's show. His dad, James, but always ride solo. Never been dropped.
Yeah, fair one.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that, isn't there? I mean, I mentioned this on last week's show. I do quite like to ride solo because I'm never quite sure before I go out how good or bad I'm going to feel, how hard or easy I want to go. So I don't want to be at the helm of somebody else's plans.
It's a good loophole, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Bryant said, here in New Zealand, we ride at 5:15 a.m. We miss the traffic and our cafes open between 5:30 and 6:45. That enables us to do 45 kilometres, have coffee, miss the traffic, have coffee, and still be home before the kids get up.
A lot of coffee. There's a sense of smugness, isn't there? I'm not saying Jason in particular, but for any of us that get stuff done before we need to do other life chores from like 7:30 a.m. It does feel good, doesn't it?
Oh,
I like my routine at home when I get the dog out really early, I get Jude sorted for school, I get to the gym and I'm back at home by 8:30.
It's good, but I'm just preferred to stay in bed.
Do you?
Mm.
Okay, well. You only just get to my age, I think. Duncan Lloyd, morning. Morning bunches in Australia, the same as many other activities, come from a tradition of getting out before it gets hot. I'm told they found a way for the sun to produce heat, not just light, as in the UK. Well, Duncan, you wrote this before we had our current heat wave.
Yeah, we're both sat here in shorts.
Yeah, unbelievable scenes. It's genuinely been hot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like over 30 degrees.
Wow.
for multiple back-to-back days.
Yeah. Jaden Clamau said, for the 15 people who stayed to the end, hopefully the bottles Dan was given, which were found on the floor, weren't like the ones on the floor at the Giro d'Italia.
I'm pretty sure they weren't. I mean, I've not tasted a whole load of urine in my time, but I'm pretty sure...
A whole load. That implies you have tasted some.
I don't know if I have. Okay. I mean, it would have been purely accidental, obviously, if I have. I might not. I've smelt it, I think. That's just about as far as I've gone. Right, underneath the Fred Whitten video, Randy Chapman put, aside from Alain being the most Italian man ever, he's also the most beautiful. Lord, I love it when he's here on GCN. Thank you, Ollie, for the wonderful eye candy this AM. I do absolutely love Alain. His sense of humour and he and Ollie together just kill me. But again, yum.
I sent that comment to Alain.
So did I.
And yeah, and Alain was like, but Ollie, tell me, what is yum? So I was like, well, Alain.
He sent the same reply to me and I just left him hanging. You can use his imagination or look it up online.
Yeah. Jesus Pasquale Camino says, Alain's training to survive the UK was hilarious. Stereotype never goes out of fashion.
Patrick McInnes, good to see Bernat experiencing proper cycling. He was our group's guide in Girona, and he was brilliant, such a cool guy. Glad he's finally experienced what I was banging on about to him.
Yeah, they both loved it. It was great. Yeah. Undersized video from the weekend about the fastest group ride in the world, which you did out in Australia. Mm-hmm. Tony Buffman 8050 said, the best GCN video in years. It's about riding bikes rather than about spending money.
Yep. Trackside 8, thank you GCN for making Western Australia shine. You've put us on the world cycling stage in a beautiful way.
And Scobed Robed said, super nice to see this as a regular commuter cyclist in Perth. GCN team did a good job covering the vibe of the city. There you go.
Well, hopefully we did a good job of covering Severn Gravel down in Nanup, about 3 hours south of Perth. That video will be out for you to watch in, I think, a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
Right, you'll be wanting to know what's on the channel this week. I missed a whole load of comments from underneath. I've been training in the gym to gain muscle, which is Ollie.
Well, you can skip those over if you want.
Well, I'll just read them out quickly, Ollie, because there's some good ones.
All right.
Randall Miller, by the time you hit 70 like me, you'll be happy you started now, just for a best life. Nice to see you happy talking about this. Mm. Enraged Muller, I want 2026 to be the year of Buff Ollie. Might be.
Long way to go, yeah.
Whilst Fraser Goodwin put, great to see strength training being covered so well on GCN rather than the focus being bodybuilder, powerlifter, gym bro, literally heavy content. Mm. I've been adding it to my training for the past 5 or 6 years and I find it invaluable not just to cycling but to my overall health. But then at 62, I make Lloydie look a little young. Right then, on the channel this week, on Thursday, Connor is apparently auditioning to join the coveted Super Nerd group. What's that all about?
It was fun doing that one.
Right.
I hope people enjoy it.
Right, that's coming to you on Thursday. On Saturday, Connor and Alex acted a proper road race with a summit finish in the UK a couple of weeks ago. You can find out how they got on and exactly what happened in the race this coming Saturday.
And on Sunday, I've got the next video in me riding, well, getting heavier to ride faster.
The next in series. The Buff Ollie series.
Yes. So, following on from the Fred Whitten, I've analysed all of the power data and ride data I've got from that from previous years when I've typically been 6 kilos lighter than what I am now. And the results of it they were very surprising to me, and I think they'll be surprising to a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see that one, personally. Right, thanks for joining me on the show, Ollie.
Thanks to you at home for watching,
and we'll see you again next week. Oh, I've completely forgotten a nugget, but it's Bank Holiday Monday here in the UK. We're recording this first thing on a Tuesday morning. It needs to come out Tuesday afternoon, so we'll have to speed it up to the editors. See you next week.